That's fair enough. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
dude,
they're one-liners.
You ever listen to that I'm the Machine guy?
No. Who's that?
The guy actually joined the Russian mafia when he was in college?
Oh, heck no. I haven't listened to that.
Bro, do you have Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, Google this real quick.
Sorry, I don't understand.
Oh, check it out. Google just jumped in. Go, bye, Google. Okay, I can't say it out loud because I have Google Home. But
on the down low.
Yeah, just search your favorite search engine.
Yep.
I am the Machine, Russian Mafia.
Am I going to get picked up by like some FBI?
No, dude. No, you're going to see a comedian with no shirt on. Just trust me. It's good. All right.
Bert Kreischer.
Bert, dude, that's him. Bert, yeah.
Okay. I'll check him out.
He's got a bunch of Netflix specials. He's good. This isn't a promo. If I use this in the episode, I may or may not. But if I do, it's not a promo for Bert's not paying Craig and I to talk about him. What up, everybody? It's your friend Isaac and my best friend in BMX, Craig. What's up, buddy?
Yo, what's up, man? Good to be here. How's it going?
It's good, man. It's Friday night. I've Ooh. Had a couple of water beers. That's what I call Truly or White Claws. I call them water beers, but I've had a few, so I'm a little buzzed.
Nice.
I don't encourage anyone to drink, but it's Friday night. It was a long week, and I had to, man, because we're going to talk about it.
Good. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah. I mean, welcome everybody to the Big Bike BMX podcast.
Hell yeah.
We're stoked you're here. We've had earlier in the week, we dropped a fun little episode with our homie, Kate.
How many of those water beers did you
Dude, I've only had two. Dude, it's Friday. I'm trying to blame. I'm trying to blame it on the water beers, but like, man, I'm 220 pounds. I've only had two of those, and so that doesn't really do a whole lot. It's been a long week, you know.
I bet, man. I feel you,
dude. I had to get up at like 6 o'clock this morning, and last night. Okay, so my kids are off of. They've been off school for a long time, but they are not required to be at their Zoom classes right now. And so they are living their best lives, staying up all night playing Fortnite and, I don't know, Assassin's Creed or something. And because I'm too tired to, like, tell – I'm like, go to bed. And they're 13. Go to bed, dude. He's like, okay. And that's about as far as it goes, dude. So long story short, I love my wife, but she is not really good at – confrontation with my daughter, who's 7, at early in the morning. And so when my daughter is basically just kind of like over the week that they've been off of school, has been staying up like a half an hour later. And so I, on the other hand, still have a normal ass work schedule. So like I'm trying to fall asleep at a decent like Christian hour, and you know, of like 10:30 or 11, because I got to be up at like, you know, dark 30, and my beautiful daughter at 11:30 is just tossing and turning, not even a little bit tired, because she slept in till like 10:30. And so
yeah,
I can't wear her out, because like, I'm like, do you want to go on a bike ride? She's like, yes. Can't ride far enough on her little tiny legs, because then I get bored, and her little like 12 millimeter cranks, dude, she's like pedaling her ass off and going nowhere on her little bike.
I wonder if the solution is like to get one of those, you know, the trainers, the rear wheel trainers that you can, attach to your bike and, you know, gets the rear wheel off the ground enough so you can pedal your butt off and, you know, put her on that at night, like a, I hate to say like a hamster in a wheel, but just like, cause kids, I mean, in the morning, like you were talking about your wife, not, you know, they just don't confront well in the morning.
No.
That's cause kids don't need coffee, dude.
No,
they wake up like, what's up? You know, they're like 100 miles an hour, and we're like at like 5 miles an hour.
Yeah, no, she wakes up, dude. Low. She wakes up in one of two moods: stoked, or why did you just do that? You know what I mean? Like, why would you do that?
Or look out.
Like, yeah, you're. Yeah, I'll get up, but you're gonna pay for it with my attitude. So anyway, and I would totally get her like a little trainer, but man, like. Because I made the mistake of like when she first got her bike, I've told the story to a couple of different people, but like, and you've heard it, like we made a little launch ramp. I mean, it's only like, I don't know, it's a foot high maybe. We made it out of a street sign and some plywood one day.
Sweet. And
it's dope. And she's learned that she could jump it. And she shreds it. So does the neighbor girl, the little neighbor girl, it's her age. Excuse me. The launch ramp is in the back of my Hummer. And so like the kid, like all the neighborhood kids know what's in the back of the Hummer. And so they'll just go in the back and grab it, put it out on the street. Cause I live in a cul-de-sac. So it's pretty safe to just like put it out there, and they just get like a little circle going down the road, and they just all jump the launch ramp. And when they're done, they put it back. And then I have no idea that they were out there on the launch ramp. And I really don't care. I'm like, dude, launch it. You know what I mean? Like,
heck yeah.
If you fall, I'm going to drag your broken body back to your street and then tell your parents.
Here's your kid.
Yeah. He fell in front of your house, not on my launch ramp.
And he signed a waiver. Here you go.
Truth. So anyway, so like a regular bike ride to her is like, you got to really like church it up. You got to really go for it, dude, to like entertain, to entertain my daughter on a bike ride. So like a trainer, not so much, but like, you know, if you throw the launch ramp out there, dude, she's on it, dude. And honestly, like it stresses me out so bad. Cause like, let me describe the launch ramp to you. Like it's not very good. It's not very high. And it's not like they jump it. Like they just go as fast as they can. And she doesn't even stand up. So like
just right like, over the top of it.
Just then. Right over the top. Front wheel lands first, super sketchy on the front wheel. And then I'm like, just steer under you. That's all I'm thinking. Like baby Jesus, don't let her crash right now. Like right. Don't let her crash and don't let the kids crash. Now my sons, they'll land properly. They're a little bit more coordinated at 13, but like my daughter, not so much, dude. And it's really stressful for a dad to watch.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's where I was going with that. I have nowhere else to go with that.
Well, check it out. I do just a little bit. This is so taking this to the next level. But, you know, speaking about the trainer, you know, and, you know, you would just think kids are like, okay, I'm spinning the wheels. This is doing nothing. I'm bored. Bye. Right.
Right. Right.
I saw a commercial and I have to name the product to talk about it, but
not sponsored,
not a paid advertisement. Peloton. Have you seen this thing?
Yeah, dude. We have one at work.
Dude. I know
exactly what we're talking about. With the video camera, with the video screen?
Yes. Dude, it's like the trainer that has like interaction. Like you want to roll in the Tour de France today? Hop on. Turn the shit on.
100%.
Get ready. You know, and it's like super high tech.
Let me tell you, I've rode one, dude. Okay. So before I was like super into like big bikes again.
Yeah.
I was rehabbing my knee. And so they have two different versions. They have like an elliptical version, which just lets you like, but the elliptical version's dope, dude. You can like hike through Yosemite and like all these different like national trails. Mm-hmm. And all they did was put a GoPro on someone's head and had them like, you know,
like really go hike.
Yeah. They just went really hiked. And then it looks like it basically gives you that first person perspective, but like people along the road, like wave at you. And they're like clearly there was an apparatus. Because people look at it like they're confused and then they wave at the very end of it. They're like, oh, so the person wearing the apparatus must have had a sign that said wave, you know, but the bike version, dude, it's like a sit down, like the one that we had at work was a sit down, like the recumbent bike type thing. And you just basically ride your bike around the Eiffel Tower. It's like ride around the Eiffel Tower or ride on this. It's all German places. It's not like the US where you're like ride through Philly. It's like all these like Dutch you know, country roads,
Swiss Alps.
It is, dude. It's like really scenic. You're like, oh man. But then if you're going up a hill, like all of a sudden the pedals get harder to pedal and you're like, ugh. So
I think that's pretty cool. I mean, I would like to have one. I don't know if if I'd have to, you know, take a second out on my house or something to own one. I mean, they look so high tech. I saw a truck out in my neighborhood deliver one, and this, the truck looked like it was, you know, badass. I'm like, this has got to be the shit, man, because
go make friends with that neighbor.
I know. Hey, buddy.
Hey, you don't know me, but I'm 80s BMX Craig, and I want to ride your Peloton.
You'd be like, get the hell out of here.
kick rocks, bearded guy. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's not a paid ad. We're just talking about cool shit. So
yeah, just
I agree with you. It's way better than, like, remember when we were kids, dude, and the bike, like the bikes like that we had for like exercise bikes, it was like a belt on top of the wheel, and you'd like turn a little knob and the belt would get tighter. And
yeah.
Those sucked.
No, my mom had one, man. It was cool for like, I don't know, a minute or two, and then you're like, whatever.
This sucks. Yeah, totally. Okay.
Oh, can I add one thing with that?
No, please do. While we're off topic, Craig.
All right. Okay. So the old school one. Okay. If you guys don't know, it's virtually like Isaac was saying. It's a front wheel. You got cranks and pedals, and you've got this resistance knob that you can. But hey, did you ever do front and back endos on it?
No, dude. You could always, because it was like stationary, you could lean forward and like kind of practice your endos. Yeah, yes. Totally, dude. Totally.
Yes. Okay. Cool. that was the best part of it.
I'm literally calling my wife to bring me another one of these water, like the water beers. Hold on.
Okay.
Keep talking. So it's energy.
No, it's all good, man. No, it's just crazy. Hey, babe, you know, you the water way, beer? I hate to interrupt all Thanks, this. Babe. This is just, this is great
like
radio.
Like we'll go two of them.
Good. Tell her one. Out. Tell her once.
I love Craig. You. And Craig says hi. Okay. Bye.
I said, tell her once for Craig.
She's literally in the next door, in the next room. I just didn't want to get up because that would be rude to everyone listening. Go ahead.
Well, they have this thing called text, you know, but I think it makes for good radio. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we used to do, I never did the wheelie ones, but I would totally do like endos.
Yeah, I do. I would just front endo, rear endo on those things. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. All right. Let's start talking about BMX stuff. Okay, so in the news, your friend, my friend, Mike Buff, posted today that he's trying to drive some charity stuff for a pretty cool cause, man. Again, this is not endorsed. This is just something that I know Craig probably believes in, and now I'm peer pressuring him into believing it. But I believe you're into this too. But there's a charity that he posted where the goal is to get bikes, like those little Strider bikes, to kindergarten classes, like kindergarten schools across the United States. So you can go to his Instagram feed. It's you know, it's just look on Instagram for Mike Buff, go to his page, and he's got a video there that basically explains it, and you can go and vote. And state, if we get the most votes, State Farm, the insurance company, will donate like $25,000 towards this charity. And I think it's pretty dope. I went and voted. Did you?
I did. I did that today when I saw Mike's post. And I think it's, maybe we can look it up. I want to say All Kids on Bikes is the name of the charity. And you do have to select, when you go to the website, you do have to select which charity that you want to choose to vote for. And like you said, basically if enough votes are cast for that particular charity, that charity will get the top donation. So
yeah.
Super cool. And anything to get kids involved and on bikes that, that typically wouldn't be able to have that opportunity, I think is an awesome thing. I think it's great that Mike, is involved with that and, put it out there for us to you know, go and vote and have some participation and love it.
Did you have bikes when you were in kindergarten?
No, I not that I remember. I hate to say no.
We had tricycles, and I remember they were silver.
Tricycles, and we did, yeah.
Certain, like this is, I think it's probably gonna be about the same thing, but it's instead of trikes, they're like Strider bikes. But dude, I mean, did you guys ever fight over like, oh man, I'm gonna get the good, like there was always a good one that didn't squeak and wasn't like.
Not that I remember. I just remember like being able to go out on that playground where there was like three or four of them,
mm-hmm.
and you just had to be really fast.
You had to be quick, dude.
Yeah, you had to be quick. There wasn't any fighting. It's like if you grabbed one and sat on one, you're on it. You know?
Dibs. Yeah, you got dibs.
Yep.
I agree. Okay, so that charity's going on right now. Definitely check it out. If it's something you want to support, you go to Mike Buff's Instagram and vote for that. I highly recommend you do it, too. I mean, takes a couple seconds, but man, you can really impact someone's life and, you know, open up the sport that we love to a wider audience, especially at kindergarten. I think it's great. So bike news this week, what's on your mind? Anything? Did you see anything? Cause there's two specific things that I texted you that we should talk about, but anything outside of those two topics?
Well, we can get to that. I just want to say one thing. I have noticed that, you know, since the SE Hoedown last weekend, it seems like there is a never-ending stream of really cool content coming out from Todd Lyons and SE Bikes and other content from the SE crew themselves of just, you know, pictures and videos of either the bikes or the weekend that we haven't seen yet. So I thought that's pretty neat. You know, that stuff's still trickling in. I'm kind of waiting to see what videos come out once those come through from Michael Wickin and Mark Losey, to see what they captured and what they're going to put together. You know that there's going to be like a super bomb video drop or a really cool clip that's going to come out. So kind of anticipating
the pro footage.
Yeah, the pro footage. And keeping my finger on the pulse, bro, I just want to see, like, you know, what they come up with. It's going to be epic.
Yeah.
That and, you know, I started one of the bike shops one of the closest ones to me that I go to a lot is out in Stockton called Robbie's Bicycles.
Shout out to Robbie's. I used to go there when I was a kid.
Shout out. You sure did.
I tell the story all the time. Robbie's used to be Molina's. And Robbie was the tech there. Robbie used to show me stickers, and Robbie pretty much hated me. And I love Robbie to death. He used to have, like, I don't know if he's even involved in the shop anymore, but he used to have spiked hair. He was short. He wore Vans that were like broken and wore out. And dude was cool as hell. I loved Robbie. And then Molina got out of it. They used to have an orange for all my old, like all the OG Stockton people. Molina's used to have orange, black, and white race like leathers. And they used to like race pretty hard at the Stockton Fairgrounds. Like it was a big deal to be sponsored by the Molina's team. It was like, and riding out of the Molina shop is John Doe. I don't remember any of the racers, but it was like a big deal. Like it was a flex.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. And now it's become Robbie's and probably one of my favorite, like besides Phoenix Bike Company, Robbie's is my favorite. I love Robbie's.
I do too, man. And you know what? I'm just going to give another shout out because everyone down there is really super cool. Everybody is real helpful. All the guys are really cool. All the mechanics are really good. So anyway, shout out for them. Anyways, what I was getting at, and hopefully if you don't want to talk about this right now, we don't have
to.
But,
no, do it. Go right in. Do it.
So yesterday, Robbie's Bicycles on Instagram came out with
and post. Facebook. They did it on Facebook too.
Okay. On Facebook too. Didn't see that one, but thanks for adding that. They came out with a post, said coming soon, and they had a photo of a GT Street Performer in a 29-inch platform.
Mm-hmm.
And
sounds cool.
Sounds cool, right? Who we all love, we all know and love GT Performer, Pro Performers, been around for decades and decades. It is a staple in the BMX world. If you've been around or if you haven't, they're still putting out performers just like they did in the 80s.
Carry on.
So let's carry on. So really interesting bike. I'm just going to put it like that. Okay. So stoked to see the performer, the photo. And then you have to kind of look at it, man. You've seen it, right?
I sure have.
Okay. So the first thing I did was like, I went to scroll. Like I was like, cool, new performer. Take a look. I'm going to scroll down, look at some comments. And I was like, wait a second, brakes, screech.
Yeah.
I started looking at the photo, dude, and I'm like, ah, really interesting. Cause you know, we're masters at zooming in on things nowadays, you know, with Todd and SE, you know, all the details count.
100%.
So I started zooming in, you know, some things are pretty typical. I wasn't too worried about it. Smoothie tires. It's a 29-inch bike. Notice the disc brakes right out of the gate. But then other things were like, I know performers. I know pro performers. I've seen last year's and the year before model GT pro performer, street performer, performer bikes. Pretty familiar with their look, their design, what they've done.
Right. Quickly describe a performer. Like if you were going to talk, you found like, okay, you and I are talking, we're OG heads.
Yeah.
You'd be like performer. And so the mental picture you have is like Eddie Fiola, right? Am I wrong?
Absolutely 100% correct. Okay. So that's the face you put towards it, the rider. Mm-hmm. And then some of the key characteristics are the S-tube that the performer is known for.
Yep. Or just that weird, the one bend, the single bend.
Or the single bend.
Which is what they did last year with a bike that I really liked. I'm probably like one of the, like I'd say 40, like I think 40% like it, 60% don't. But that one bike that was the bike, I think it's like it was the pro performer, not street performer. The pro was like the world tour one or whatever. It was a high end bike that was one side was like yellow or like yellow, red and blue. And the other side had the other years. They basically just took one set of years and put it on the left side and one set of years on the right side. Decal was different on both sides. I thought it was cool. When I first saw it, this was also when I was coming back to BMX. So I was like, they're touching all the bases, hitting all my feelings, all my emotions, had the GT Power Series cranks.
It was different. It was outside the box. There was nothing like it on the road.
I dug it. I'll be honest. Like I dug that bike. If I didn't already have a big ripper and it didn't have white tires, I probably would have been able to test ride it. And it was definitely a contender in my buying. When I was buying a big bike, it was in contention.
Agreed. And I seen a guy who, when I first saw it out on a ride out, he was getting all kinds of attention, bro. He was like, it was in Oakland. It was either last year or a couple of years ago. It was a couple of years ago. And people were just like, let me ride that bike. Like they wanted to ride it. Does this thing ride as cool as it looks?
Right.
You know,
because it looks like the bikes that we rode as kids. And I respect the shit out of that. I like it.
Yeah. And like you said, even the last year's GT Performer series had the down tube, had the 45 degree kick in it. And you know, it's a nod to the freestyle era.
And the sandy platform.
Yep. And having an area to put your foot in on the front tire without hitting a down tube.
Yep.
Or in the way. So this bike doesn't have that. So that was like, whoa, this
wait, is wait, wait, wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to hit the brakes again?
Okay. So I felt the same way. I'm gonna get right into my thoughts real quick. I won't go into farther than you have.
Do it.
Issue number one. I saw the same post. I'm looking at it. I see the forks aren't GT freestyle forks. They are oddly shaped forks. They look like they're bent. I'm just going to say that. They look like they're bent, which is the weird geometry, which you have to do with where they decided to put the dropout.
Well, and I agree because when I look at the head tube, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. At whatever angle that is, I don't know what it is. There's not a lot of info here. So you have to kind of observe and report.
Yep.
The head tube angle and the forks do not necessarily line up very well. You know, like there is an offset to them. An offset forward. Okay.
Truth.
So that throws you off. Like, oh, that's, I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying that's different. Because let's rewind. We're looking at a performer, a GT performer, right? So we're trying to do our mental comparison of what we know about the performer lineup from 30 years ago forward. And now here we are looking at a new bike, right?
Yep.
Continue.
So the forks look weird. Not a big fan of the fork. It looks bent. Then you do see that it has a okay. So it's the bike that they posted was like a black bike in a darker background. And so immediately I see the performer sticker, but I don't see the classic bend of the down tube, just like you did. And I'm like, it's not a fucking performer, dude. What is like, it's like they stuck a performer sticker on a wonky frame. Like they're just like, we have these frames, stick a performer sticker on it.
Let me add one more detail to this and then you can continue.
Sure.
If you zoom in on the performer, down tube decal, you look at, there's a, right before in the letter, right before it says performer, there's a small white, almost triangular design.
Mm-hmm.
When you zoom in on that, it says street. Sure. Now they came out with the street performers last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just throwing that out there. They're calling this a street performer. Okay.
Okay. There we
continue.
Go. So I then continue to look down the frame. I look at the top tube and there's a standing platform like the classic GT performer. They kept that, but they didn't keep the down tube bent. So it automatically looks like it's a bastard child frame that like they kept the top tube, but then they just didn't continue the theme of what we know a performer looks like with the down tube.
Correct.
And it has disc brakes and it has GT bars. It's four piece, right? It looks like four piece bars.
It looks like it to me. GT mallet stem with that.
But it's not a traditional mallet stem. It's like a weird, like rounded. Zoom in on the stem.
I am right now, and I'm only seeing it from the side. It almost looks like the ones that they had last year on the GT Street Performer. It's a mallet stem front load.
I need you to go. There's another picture of this bike too that we're going to have to look up and I'll show it
to
you.
Okay.
Continue.
You said front and rear disc brakes. I'm going to go right down to the bottom bracket. Okay.
Yes,
and there is a standing platform. It's got the GT BMX seat from past models last year.
Yep.
And that looks like a pivotal seat. So cool. Good to go there. I looked at the cranks, right? And I couldn't tell. These seem like almost like the thicker aluminum cranks that we would see on like a monster quad. So not really typical GT series cranks. Okay. Very typical GT pedals, no problem. And then the sprocket. The chain ring. Okay, it is what it is. But this bike, what really sets it off to me, aside from what we talked about, is the rear end. This thing, this sucker has gears, dude. This sucker is like similar to the layout of a fast ripper. Okay, for those who want to like vision this in their head, think of the gearing system on a fast ripper with a derailleur and a multi-cog gear in the rear. And it has that. And the rear dropout is a little, I'm going to let you describe that. You're pretty good with words, dude, but it just looks different. I'm not saying it's bad or anything.
It's weird.
It is weird. And it also has pegs.
It does.
Yep. So rear pegs. So it's, you're right. I mean, I hate to use a term. This is like a, you know, kind of like a bastard bike, but it almost, the front end to me looks like it's dirt jumper esque, but it's a hard fork. I'm just so curious about the geometry of the frame.
I'm really curious about everything about this bike. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I saw that picture. I was instantly confused. Wasn't really feeling it. Then I went on, like the 26, 24, 29 Facebook page and, saw someone like, I was like, these fools are going to be talking about it. Like, I love that page. So, and did not disappoint. So, Juan posted it. and said, not really sure how I feel about it. And then somebody else posted another view from inside of a bike shop of them building an actual bike. So it's not a product. It's not a product photo. It's like the bike on a bike stand getting built.
Yep.
And so
this one, and sorry to interrupt, bro, this picture, if the first one didn't have me scratching my head a little, this one had me swerving off the road in a totally like unknown direction.
Yeah.
Okay. I need explanations. I need some info. So maybe describe to our listeners what we're looking at right now.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a bike that's up on the stand. The Robbie's bike that you'll see if you go to their Instagram is black and red. And you're seeing basically just a literally like side bike shot. You can't see a whole lot about it. The picture on the Facebook group is from like the front of the bike, but at an angle. So you see more of it, but not on the drive side. You're looking at it on the left side of the bike. So here, this is where I question, it's not a GT mallet stem. It's like it's a mount, if a mallet stem and a mountain bike stem had a baby, that's what this is. So it's like they tried to shave off some of the weight by leaving, instead of the square mallet, it's like got these rounded parts where the Allen bolts screw in on the stem. It does have the four-piece bars that look great. I think the bars alone look great. But then here's where you start seeing like the internal, like the internal cable routing, which is why they didn't, this is why I assume they didn't do the down tube like you would expect on a performer bike, because they have the cables going inside the frame, which in theory is great, but it's no longer a performer in my opinion. And I'm just going to say it, like, I think GT really screwed up with this bike. Like and the reason I say that is because I can tell you that I think they did the other bikes fairly well. I think the bike I was describing earlier, the other pro performer, the other street performers, they look like GTs. And I'm not a GT fan, but I had a lot of friends that rode GTs, more friends that rode Dyno. And I just have like a soft spot in my heart for GTs because I remember seeing folks like Martin and Eddie and like Josh White and a lot of great riders riding the GT Performer platform back in the day. And so for me, I am highly offended that they put a performer sticker on this bike because it's not a performer. They have, it's basically what I believe they tried to do was go, we need a fast ripper. They need something to compete with the fast ripper. And so somebody said, we have these frames. And then they just said, okay, cool. Just put the performer top tube with the standing platform on it and we'll call it a performer, but it's not a performer. The way I described it to you was, I believe this bike was designed at 4:45 on a Friday afternoon. And someone just said like, we have to get one more bike out. And they're like, I think I have it. And they just meshed a mountain bike instead. Okay. So the fast ripper is a big ripper with gears. That's the way you describe it. And it looks like a fat, it looks like a big ripper. It rides like a big ripper. Everything about it is a big ripper, only added gears and better brakes. This, on the other hand, does not look like a performer. It looks like a mountain bike, but then they put the weird, they put it like, it's not weird, but they put a standing platform on it. So, and I haven't even addressed the front part of this bike yet, but I'm going to get there. I'll even let you talk about it first, but it's like, the hell is this? It's like, it's a flatland mountain bike. What is this? What am I looking at?
Would you not be so, like scratching your head if one, they had called it something else. Okay. Let's just say they you rebrand it another name. I don't even care what that name is. And two, if they had not included the standing platform at the rear of the top tube, near the seat post,
totally different
and
totally
take that away version. And just called it something different. Would this fly? I mean, it would be a geared by, I think it's just so incredibly odd.
Like it's offensive. It's offensive. It's an offensive.
It's
It's offensive to people that grew up with GT.
If I was a GT diehard, right? I would be like already in my email, like going, "Hey guys, what's this?"
I'm mad for you.
Yeah. So that you're right. I mean, I can't not, if that's a word, can't not double negative, agree with you on this. Like I'm just kind of scratching my head. It's just so Frankensteinish.
Can I talk about the front real quick?
Absolutely.
All right, you guys, you have to find this picture because the front fork, they put a goddamn fender. It's a black, like imagine the fender that they had on the, like a 1950 Schwinn. They put that on the front of the wheel. Okay, look, I don't hate on the chain guard because you have to put a chain guard legally to sell a bike.
Yeah, like yeah, you have to include it or have
you
it
have installed. To include it. And so I don't get mad at bike shops for this. But what the actual F, GT, there's no reason to have, like, it's a performer is a freestyle bike. It's a freestyle platform. And then you go and put, this is a black and purple bike, which the colorway is fine. It's like, okay. So if you remember the performer, it had the triangle under the P. That is on the, so the bike starts black and ombre or fades into purple, which is great. That's cool. But then you added this red where Craig was saying the word street is on. It's a red triangle. And then there's the word performer. And then there's like some racing type stripes that say GT in yellow. So it's a black, purple, red, and yellow bike. But I am so offended by the fender. Like what?
I was okay. So devil's advocate. Okay. Just because we're talking, I would be like, "Hey Isaac, check it out, bro."
I'm good with it.
Cool. And I'm just being the other voice. This is just, I just need to ask you this because I have what I feel is my answer. So we're in the Robbie's Bicycles stock photo. There's no fender,
right?
Okay. I looked for this bike today on GT's website. I couldn't find it.
It's not there. I just looked.
It's not there. Okay. So in this second photo that you and I are looking at, and hopefully everybody found it, where you mentioned, this looks like it's at a shop.
Yep.
Okay. Somebody's bike shop, somebody's local bike shop. Okay. Do you think the owner of this bike said, "Hey, I like bikes with front fenders. Can you put one on for me? I know it doesn't come with one." Is this just somebody's like custom add-on that we're like, "Oh dude, this is a hoagie. This looks so janky." Could this be possibly that scenario?
I don't think so because it looks like it is attached. Why? It looks like it's attached professionally to those forks.
It dang sure does, doesn't it? It looks like they have mounting.
The hardware's there.
Female threaded mounting holes on the inside of the forks on both sides.
Yeah.
It looks like it. So I'm going to have
fender,
to say.
The fender is matte black like the front of the bike.
Right. Okay. I'm going to have to go with that scenario too. Unless when they do release it with other photos. And if we don't see it, maybe this was that. But it looks like it's made for the dang bike, bro.
It looks like it was made for it. Even without it, the bike is ugly as shit.
So if you were scratching your head earlier, now you're pulling your hair out because this is just like, it's too crazy.
I'm not a fan, dude. And here's the thing, dude. Okay. We get a lot of heat for being like SE heavy on this podcast. The reason that I am SE heavy is because there's not a whole lot out there that's banging besides SE. So, and the only thing, I can't compare SE to Bassett. I can't compare SE to Skyway or Hutch or Standard or like what Mad Dog is making because it's not fair. SE is a box bike. They make a complete bike for mass production. So the only competitors that it's truly fair to compare it to is GT, Throne, Haro. Who else? GT Throne, Haro.
You can go with...
Oh, Fit. Maybe Fit and Sunday.
Fit and Sunday. Yeah.
You know, so
on the higher level, on the big box level, or you know, box bike level.
I'm just talking. I can only compare SE because SE doesn't make a frame and fork option. It's not fair to compare it to like any of the other companies, because in the other companies they sell you the frame and fork as a like a combo platform, and then you build it with the high end parts or low end parts that you want. So it's the only way to truly compare it is other box, meaning pre like complete bikes. So it's nuts, dude. I don't understand it.
I don't get it either. And I agree with you. It's just so like different to where it's confusing. I think I'm confused. I don't think that, and I think that's why I'm sitting here like going, what should I think about this? But being that I've been around for a while, as well as you, as well as a ton of our listeners, or even if you came around and you've been in the scene for a couple of years and you know what, you know, GT's latest or last couple series of performers, street performers or whatnot, you're like, what is this?
Right.
Is it a freestyle bike? Is it a fast geared bike? Is it, it's got fender, front fender. So there's just so many variables. It's confusing. And I own two of the GT street performer bikes. Okay. And sure. I had a GT Pro Performer freestyle bike, from the late 90s. So I'm not against GT. You know, it's a staple. It's a lineage bike from our heritage, you know, our background, but it's just so odd. It's, you know, GT, I'd love to hear someone knock on the door of the brand manager and maybe he can let us know, or someone who's really GT diehard, and just have them look and give us some feedback. If you guys have feedback on this, drop Isaac and I a comment and let us know after you take a look at it. Are we off base? Are we just that critical, or are we on point? I feel like we're on point, man. And I feel like if we're thinking this, then there's others who either are or aren't. And if you aren't thinking the way we are, that's cool. We're not hating on you. We're not saying you're wrong, but just give us some feedback. Let us know where you stand. Do you have anything else with that one? Cause
dude. Okay. So the only thing I feel about,
let it flow, bro.
I want to like this bike because it's GT and I have affinity for GT. I don't own a GT, but I'm not opposed to owning a GT. Like, that's the thing. Like if I didn't grow up with one. So if I'm going to spend like $700-$800 on a GT, I would just spend that like on a Haro or like an SE, you know what I mean? Like, I know what I'm getting with that.
I can't say the same, dude. I can't say I want to like this, but I want to like it because of GT. I'm just going to say, for me, I'm not the guy in the market for this model.
Right.
I'm not. It just doesn't appeal to me. I like other pro performer, street performer models all day long. I'm not the guy for this one. And that's just my preference. I'm not asking you to like me for it or tell me I'm a, you know, dipshit. This isn't me. There's just too much where I'm like, I'm good.
I don't understand. Like, I'm just like, it's just like, it's a, like they tried to make a freestyle mountain bike. It's like a flatland mountain bike. I don't understand it, dude. It's a weird bike. I like the other GT models. I do pick on, there's two things I pick on, this bike and the weird green, peach and green.
Which is a color thing for you.
It's literally just a color thing. I'm like, That's a bad color choice. The other one, the green and peach, but it almost looks like a mafia, like that mafia chinga backhand rear triangle. It's kind of a weird, it's just got a weird shape to it.
Yeah, it's different.
It's different. I don't hate it, but I don't like it. But I mean, I wouldn't not buy a bike because of the rear triangle shape. That's just ludicrous.
Yeah.
But,
you're talking about the rear dropout and it's a butted dropout. It's not your typical.
No, it's just different.
It's just different. And different can be cool. I mean, but
now here's the thing. I do need to point this out. Like I haven't rode this bike and maybe this thing has like the best geometry in the whole world. And somebody is just like sitting back, like, but you got to ride it to try it. And I'm like, maybe. But yeah. The fork looks like it's already offset to accept that, like, it's got a zero offset dropout. So, and if you remember, like, GT Performer or any of the freestyle forks, like, they have those big dropouts in the front. So, they just basically, like, not today. They got rid of that part of a Performer or the entire GT line, which to me is, like, that's a, there's a couple staples, you know, that you look at when you see GT. And it's that. The front fork dropouts are those big, long, sweeping, like, triangles. That's something that, to me, it's always been very, like, GT. And then the down tube has to be bent in order to call it a Performer. And so they basically ditched those two nods to the original platform. And it's not a Performer anymore to me. I'm not into it. Now I'm going to have to quickly go and look at the other GT models to see, like, so I went to GT Bikes or GTBicycles.com, USA, the USA site.
Yeah, I'm there right now, bro.
The Dyno Comp 29, the purple, we call it the Radberry, great looking bike. The Dyno Pro Comp, that's the LTD, the Pro Comp 29, not a bad looking bike. The 24, again, great looking bike if you're into 24s. I'm not, so I can't really tell you a whole lot about that. The Pro Series bike is just, it's their race bike. Looks okay to me. I don't remember what the race bike looks like, but to me, it looks like a GT race bike. Cool. The Pro Series 29, that's the LTD. The 29, again, fine. The Pro Series 26, cool. It's just a different color.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we get to the ones that, like, where I'm looking, like, where I would spend my money. The Performer 29. Okay. The Dyno I'd spend my money on. The Performer 29, the one that's 560. It's not the Pro Performer. It's just a Performer 29. It's peach and like a lime green.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's just rude. It's a rude color combination. I understand you're trying to be, like, out there, but in no world did A, and it's got green spokes. Now the components look fine. It's 560. So you're at that price point of, like, it's a entry level. I almost said cheap, but I don't want to say cheap because it's entry level. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It's to get you on a bike. It has the classic, and maybe, dude, I'm grading on a curve because I just saw that other bike, but it has the classic dropouts that are GT dropouts, has the S curve on the frame. But it's just ugly, dude. I'll just be honest. Like, it's an ugly frame. It's ugly, not frame, but it's ugly paint job. I wish they would have not done this. Like, it's lime green with peach. It's not aesthetically pleasing. Now the Pro Performer 29 is that, like, baby blue, that sky blue. And I remember this bike sitting in shops, and it's got the Pro Series, you know, the Power Series cranks. It's got a sealed front hub, pivotal saddle. Like, it's a good looking bike. It looks like the GT that you grew up with. Yep. It's got really cool white wall, like white sidewall smoothie tires, GT branded. Looks cool. Not hating on that. The Pro Performer 26 and the Pro Performer 26. Same thing, 725, does not look bad. In fact, that's a good looking purple. It's like a translucent purple. So you can still see the cool, the welds. And I really appreciate that. In fact, I'd like SE to do something like that where it's a translucent color. It looks really, really good. Especially in the 26 model. Doesn't look bad. In fact, even they put the brakes on the inside of the rear triangle, which is something that a lot of freestyle bikes did back in the day. Appreciate that. So I'm giving GT some love. I will tell you that. I hate everything about that Pro Performer. And I'm mad that they even did it, to be honest with you, dude. I think it's offensive to your fans.
Well, it's definitely confusing, man. It is, and it's definitely confusing. Maybe if they didn't have the rear platform, and maybe if they didn't call it the Street Performer, and maybe if they rebranded it and marketed it towards a leisure cruising type of crowd or demo, that might have worked. You know, that could have been like, okay, this is for cruising, or this is for whatever. It just has, it's like it's trying to appeal oddly to just all facets of everyone that likes to ride a bike, and it's all Frankensteined into one. I'll agree with you. I'm not a fan, but then again, it's just not for me.
It's not for me either.
I can't be like, well, I like the freestyle platform, so therefore it's a cool bike. Yep. I like freestyle platforms. I love them. I totally love them.
I want to see them.
But I don't love it on this bike.
I don't. And here's the thing, dude. You can't, like, if they would have called it something else, if they would have called it not a performer, I probably wouldn't have the reaction. But like, I'm like, it's just like a diss to the, to like, here, and just my, if someone from GT listens to this, understand, you can't it's disrespectful to me as a rider in my childhood to just slap a performer sticker on some random ass bike and try and tell me it's a performer because it has a standing platform. If you're going to go, you're going to call it a performer, it has to be a performer. It has to look like a performer. If not, it's not. And call it something else. You know what I mean? Like, call it a different, if you would have called it a different bike, I wouldn't be so like it's polarizing, dude. I don't know. Like, it's polarizing.
No, that's a great way to say it. It is polarizing. And, you know, we have the opportunity to sit here and talk about these things on a platform that can be heard by many people, and it can go to people in the industry, and it can go to GT, it can go to the brand manager.
I'd love to talk
to the designer. We would love to talk to you.
I'd love to talk to you. Please, like, let me help you. You know what I mean? Like, I can help you.
Or maybe we could have a dialogue that, you know, hey, this is what we were thinking when we were putting this together. Here's what we were shooting for. Who knows what someone like that would say representing that company's design and you know, ideas for what that was supposed to be. It's obvious. You and I just scratch our heads over this. And I can't say that how you mentioned that, you know, it's offensive. it's an offensive type bike because we are who we are.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if the next guy who sees this online is going to say, oh, that's not that bad. And that's cool. But we have the podcast. We have the opportunity to talk about it to the masses. And we feel the way we do because we are who we are, dude.
Maybe, I mean, and here's the thing, dude. Maybe, like, and I'm trying to look at, like, cars, right? So, like,
yeah,
I happen to drive a very iconic looking truck that then came out with a new car that was similar, but not the same. So I drive, and people know this, I've talked about it. I drive a Hummer, like an H1 Hummer, which is a very square boxy army truck. And then they came out with the H2 that was like, kind of like it, but it was like a little bit more friendly for the soccer moms. Another example of this is like the Mustang. And when you like Mustang went through like a lot of different like model looks to it before it landed, like where, like if you look at a 67 Mustang and you look at a Mustang now, like they're not just knocking out like a 67 Mustang. They've updated the look of it a bit. Now, does that play in the bike world? Here's, and I'll give you my opinion, but I want to hear yours. This is interesting to me.
Of course it does.
Okay, so
I absolutely think it does, because you have a lineage, you have a staple of design and look over time that we that fans of that particular model mm-hmm. or brand expect and are used to mm-hmm. over years and years of seeing it, right? And when you
over years and years, though, that's the difference.
Over years and years. So when you have a radical design change, and this happens, like you said, in the car world and anything that has that lineage to it, the true, I don't mean true, but the fans, the diehards, when you make changes to something that's iconic, you're going to ruffle feathers. Okay. And this is a prime example. It just ruffles the feathers. It doesn't make sense, and we're gonna, you know, moan and complain and voice our dissatisfaction, because we're seeing something that's not what we're used to, right?
I think I would be more accepting of it if you said years and years. I can't. Like GT to me just came back 2 or 3 years ago. They haven't been doing this enough time to sway from the original, you know, performer look to go that dramatic. If they would have just said, hey, we have an idea for something like clearly everyone looks at SE and they're like, what's popular with them? Okay. SE's killing it with the 29s. With their big ripper, which is a big version of the PK ripper. Okay, GT looks at it and goes, we got the Dino 29, got the GT Performer 29. Then they look at the 26 and the 24, you know, Blocks Flyer, SoCal Flyer, they can just scale them down. Same thing. Cool. Like they're like, SE has that, we have that. Cool. Then they look at SE and go, they have this like fast ripper and a Duro. Okay. I don't know which one they're trying to bite on, but it's one, like they've got a big bike that is also has gears and people love it. Cool. But then the reason it works on SE is because it still looks like the bike that they're trying, you know, it still looks like the bike that they're emulating. It has the sticker on it. The problem I have is that you called it a performer, but it doesn't necessarily look like a performer. And so if you would have just called it like the GT hybrid or something, you know what I mean? Like call it anything but a performer. And I would have been more open to it. I would have been more open to I wouldn't be over here clowning so you made a mountain, like a mountain flatland bike.
You know, I don't, truly, I don't think you're clowning as much as you are just trying to be real.
I'm just being honest.
I just want to throw it out there. It may come off like we're clowning, and it's not a diss. It's an observation of.
I feel dissed by putting a fender on it. Yeah. I feel dissed because I put a fender on it. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm just, maybe I'm in my heart, I'm protective of the GT legacy. And I feel like you just kind of shit on it by putting a fender on the front. Like a front fender on a GT Performer, you're just taking a shit on my childhood. You know what I mean? Like GT as a brand stood for quality. Gary Turner and his back in the 80s, it was Eddie Fiola, Martin. It was a classy team. It was a top tier team. It was good bikes that. Like represented freestyle and it represented the race world really well, the freestyle world really well. And this just doesn't, it feels like you're like, you just don't understand the kind of people that ride big bikes. And so I'm kind of pissed off that I feel like this is a money grab with the performer name on a bike that you did not really think through.
Yeah. Okay.
Too much?
Yeah. No, it's not too much. I'm just trying to process a little. So, you know, obviously we have emotions that are tied to the history of a brand. And like you said, it does skew It is everything you said. It is everything, the feelings that you have, I have. It missed the mark.
I think that's it, dude. It missed the mark. I want these brands to be able to innovate. I want these brands to be able to, I mean, okay, perfect example. GT, in the midst of freestyle, went from that single bend to an S-tube bend. And the S-tube bend really made no sense why you would do it. There was no reason to do it. It didn't give you any kind of benefit as a freestyle rider. They just changed the single tube to an S-tube.
But did you have the same feelings back then when they did that? No. I didn't either. I thought it was cool. I saw that I think they did that on the world tour.
Yeah, it was a world tour. Exactly, it was.
Yeah. I just thought it looked kind of cooler. I thought they added some coolness to it, but that's just me. I liked it. But dude, like you said, for me, it just misses the mark and I'm confused. I'm going to go over it again. If they labeled it something different, called it something different, possibly taken out that freestyle platform on the top, standing platform, and maybe just marketed it towards someone, a different demographic of rider, which would have been fine. And I don't care what GT does when they design their bikes.
I don't either.
But in all honesty, because I love their bikes, I'm a fan of GT. And I'm a fan of them because I've seen them for 30 plus years and I've owned them.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of this design. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And it does. It's offensive. Great. You know, and I feel like we're, you know, some might think we're just hammering and not, you know, letting up on this, but we're just having this conversation because others probably are having the same damn one too.
Yeah. And if I didn't give a shit about GT, I wouldn't be emotional. I'd be like,
I would just be
sitting here laughing at it. No, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care. That's the thing. Like here's the thing. It's like when you hear someone talk about, like, I don't care about my ex-girlfriend. And then they talk about it for like an hour. You're like,
they'll tell you for two hours why they don't care.
Right. Yeah. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifferent. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's like,
I guess that's a good way to look at it too. I feel let down. I do. Not like if it, you know, I wasn't in the market to buy a new awesome pro performer anyways. If I was, you know, maybe I was or wasn't, but I feel let down.
I just want to see good things. Okay. Here's the thing, dude. Like it's 2020. I don't know. And basically 2020 is just reminding me that, like, I could die any moment. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how many more summers I've got left in me.
I don't have much more time and you come out with this.
Right, dude.
This is what I'm going to go into the,
you look at it and you're
into
like,
my life.
Right. Like, I was excited to see this. Okay. So big bikes. I was excited. Like, man, GT is going to bring it this year. And so the first thing I saw was the purple dyno. And I'm like, oh yeah, here we go. And my best friend Lee had the purple dyno. So I was like, oh dude, it's on.
Yeah.
They're going to progress.
Great start.
Yeah. I was like, dude, they're coming hard. Cool. Because I want another brand to do well besides SE. I want Haro to do well. I want GT to do well. Like, I want these brands.
Let me expand on that. I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
I can't agree with you more with that statement. I want all of them to do well. Well, I want GT, Haro, Throne. It doesn't matter. I want them all to do well because in competition, things get better through
innovation.
Innovation.
Yeah.
Okay. That is where we see better design, better functionality, better creativity, et cetera, et cetera. Through that competition, as all rise, it just makes the bar go up and up and up for everybody.
100%.
I just wanted to you know, capitalize or at least focus on what you said and say, yes,
yeah,
that is so true.
I wanted GT to really come hard. It looked like they were going to do it because the first things I saw were those couple dinos. I saw a black dino, I saw a purple dino, and I think I saw a blue dino. And I'm like, dude, bring it. Come on. Because last year there was one dino. It was just one. And then all of a sudden I saw three. And I'm like, hell yeah, here we go. Big bikes are growing. They're getting respect in the industry. And GT noticed it. And then all of a sudden I saw that peach and green bike. I was like, man, what is that? And so I was like, okay, maybe I'm off, man. Maybe like, okay, one bad bike does not ruin an entire line. And so I was waiting for the other ones. I saw the blue one. I was like, cool, man, bring it. The purple one, the translucent purple. I'm like, bring it. Okay, they just had one, like one colorblind dude designed a bike. Cool, I understand.
I had that green camo.
The green camo was cool.
The green camo was dope. Yes. I had the red Pro Series.
The Heritage. It's a race bike. I didn't know much about it.
Well, no, it was a 29er.
I'll take your mind. I'll take your word for it.
You'll take my word. Yeah. So just
Pro Series, I don't care about because it was like racing and I was in freestyle, right? So like, I'm not saying it wasn't dope. I just don't understand it. That's all. I'm getting at.
All right. I'll give you that.
Yeah. And so then this came out. And I was like, for full transparency, someone's like, dude, GT just dropped their version of a Fast Ripper. And I was so excited to go look at this post. And it's like, man, maybe I'm like the comic book kids that see like their favorite comic book movie trailer. And they're like, fuck, dude, this sucks. Because I saw it and I was just like, man, come on, dude. Like, what happened? And so I was just bummed, I guess. I mean, we're beating a dead horse now, but it's just like, I really wanted to see GT do better. That's all. I'm sad for GT. And I wanted, like, I don't have a whole lot of summers left of like quality riding before I'm just like, man, before I already know this about myself. Like, pretty soon I'm going to be at that point where I'm like, if I fall, it's expensive. Like the rehab and the time to like fix this injury is going to be more expensive than it's worth.
Well, pretty soon you'll be wanting a geared bike with a front fender.
Yeah. some kind of hybrid bike, right? Some electric bike. Yeah. So I really wanted to see GT bring it and they didn't do it this year. And I'm just sad about that. Dyno brought it, but GT did not.
Didn't you say it earlier? I mean, just consider it this way. I always hate to say bad apple, but one bad apple doesn't spoil the bunch, bro. There's still a lot of love out there, a lot of love for GT. You guys just missed the mark, okay? In my opinion, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. So, yeah, I mean, obviously we've got our feelings and thoughts on that, and I just got to say, you know, it's a good point to bring up. It's something that we've noticed and we can talk about it and hopefully we get some good feedback as well. I definitely, like I said, want to hear from our listeners where they're at with things once they take a look at it. And then, you know, kind of just get a finger on the pulse of where the
yeah, maybe, are, dude, maybe too. We're off. And that's totally, you guys, we can
we're not off. So this is, we can be way this off. Is the thing, bro. We can't be off because this is how we feel, right? It's our opinions, and that's exactly what it is.
We're the old crowd, though. You know what I mean? Like,
we're old.
Dude. But you know how many times people call me boomer in a post? Like, all right, boomer. I'm like, bro.
Bro, they just straight up called you. They just go.
That one dude was like, shut up, old man.
Shut up, old man. He just went straight for the old man.
Yeah. You know what, so. Dude? F that guy because he's a flipper. So
F that guy. We're not old anyways.
You're hecka lame. Okay. So maybe we're off, dude, because we're old. You know what I mean? I guess that was like my main point. But like being old, like because we grew up in the 80s, this isn't for us. And you know what? Cool. I understand. Get it. I get it.
All right.
You know what I mean? Maybe it's not for us. I've rode the new Haro. I got the Haro from John.
Hell yeah.
Dude, super stoked on the Haro. I think it's weird because I did not think I would be as comfortable as I am on a 26. I just did a wheelie video on it.
Saw that, dude.
It's easy stoked. To wheelie. It's easy to wheelie. It's hard to go from the Big Ripper, the 29, and then just drop down onto a 26 and start riding wheelies. That's kind of weird. But shout out to John Pulgens for being a man of his word and getting me that sample bike. And man, it really was, dude, everything we talked about on that interview with him. I haven't posted. Okay. So I have all the footage of me building the Haro. I have me opening the box of the Haro. I have me building it and I have my first ride, but I haven't brought myself to posting or even getting through the editing because it's pretty emotional, dude. Like for me personally, I kind of have like a moment, dude, where I'm like, man, I just remember riding this bike. And I don't know that I think I'm a little bit too self-conscious to put that on YouTube, to share with people. Cause I don't want to get like flamed for it.
I don't think you will,
dude. For being an old dude that really kind of had a moment riding this bike. But I'll be 100% honest, dude. I had a bit of a moment because here's what happened. I built it. And then I went on a bike ride with my daughter, and probably the hardest thing to do, is not get emotional when you're like this. You guys, you got to understand too, the Haro was like my freedom bike, and you old heads will understand. If you're over the age of like 30 and you grow up riding bikes and you experience that freedom of like just being a boy or a girl on a bike, that there's a certain crowd that got it. You know what I mean? Like my bike wasn't just my tool to get from my house to the store. It was how I processed hard days at school. My bike was how I processed like some girl not liking me that I liked. My bike was
two-wheeled shrink, dude.
Dude, it was. Okay. That's a great way to put it. It was like two-wheel therapy.
Yes.
And if I was angry, I could go hard and just jump stupid stuff and ride off of cliffs and ride it hard. Like, so it would definitely it was my therapy. If I wanted to go crazy.
Yeah. 100%.
I could, you know, you could just pedal and jump and like rogue on things. And then if I wanted to be like precision and my flatland stuff, I could do that. And it just was everything. It was, my bike was everything to me. And so riding that Haro Master, and then riding it, like it just happened to be because it was with my daughter. And it's like, it's such a personal thing because my daughter's like, "Do you want to go on a bike ride?" I'm like, I do want to go on a bike ride. And so, and it's the angle of like, I had the chesty on. And so you can see her riding with me. And I'm just like, dude, it's almost like 14-year-old me. I could look at that moment through like 14-year-old me's eyes and just kind of say, dude, you made it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, of course.
Here you are riding the same bike you rode when you were 16, but now you're doing it with like your daughter and your kids and your family, and look where you are now. And it was like this weird time warp kind of a moment. So I haven't edited the video or posted it because I don't know that, like people are just, like people are savage on dude. It's just people are savage on YouTube to begin with.
They can be. And let me tell you something, man, not only do we sit here and talk over, you know, a microphone and headphones with guests and on our podcast, but you know, we're bros. So we get to talk offline.
Yeah.
I was so, and you can cue in the theatrical music right now, dude, because you want to talk about emotions, man. I know what that bike meant to you. And I know what it meant to you as a kid growing up in the same way I did, where, you know, things were not easy to come by. And the bike was the centerpiece of how we dealt with our life in general. Right. And I saw you get that bike, dude. You had your Haro Master back. And like you said, you were with your daughter and you were the smile on your face. You called me right away and was like, I got it. Man. And I was like, right on, dude. I felt so like stoked for you and I was super happy. And then, yeah, I saw that photo that you had with your daughter out there. And I was like, that's what it's all about, man. And if it does that for you, that's what this whole bike thing's about, man. It's not just the tricks and, you know, the things we do on a bike physically, but it's everything that brings back all the emotions. And we love to reminisce. We love our childhood, mm-hmm. as far as our experiences and how we can share things and relate. But when you can do that with a bike and it all comes back and it floods in and you're feeling that, that's a pretty good thing to have happen.
100%.
And thank God for bikes for doing that for us. You know?
100%. Good call, man. Maybe I'll finish the edit.
I'd love to see it, man. And I'm sure our listeners do too. If you can bring yourself to do that. I'm sure that'll touch a lot of people knowing now that there's a backstory to it and hope they
do. There's a lot to it. Yeah. I mean, it was just one of those things like, is my Haro 26 going to be my all time bike that I ride every day? No, dude, nothing can to pull the Perry, the PK 27.5, out of my rotation. It would take an act of God. Like I love that bike. It is the most comfortable thing I've ever ridden. It is the 27.5 Perry, like the PK Ripper is a perfect, it's a perfect bike. Almost said
I know you love that PK, bro.
I love it. It won't, like the Haro's not going to replace that for me, even though it's a flatland bike. And
it doesn't replace it, but it does fill its own compartment and fill what you need it to fill it for.
So it's just a cool thing to have, man. The Haro Master. It's just a great bike. I put a front brake on it and I put the knee saver bars on it and it does flatland just great. I think I am just so used to my PK that it's really hard to, it's just, I'm like four beers in, dude.
So, You're fine.
You're getting just good. You're getting raw Isaac right now. But dude, it's a really fun bike to ride. It's really fun to watch them ride it. And I guess it's just a little bit emotional for me. So it's hard for me to like it's almost like I'm protecting it. Does that make sense? I don't know if
it makes sense. And I totally get it, man. You don't have to go into all the detail to explain that because anybody listening to this obviously has an interest in bikes and there is an emotional connection at some point for everyone, brother.
I'm going to have the hardest time editing this. I just want you to know that. so we'll see. We'll see if I let this part go in, but I don't cause I like to be the funny guy. I don't like to be the emotional guy. And so it's hard for me to be like this vulnerable.
No, it's cool. It's cool though, because you know, it's another side of you that we all have, bro. And you're just being open and honest and organic with those feelings. So kudos to you, bro. I love it. I love hearing that, man. Yeah. Hey, speaking of, yeah, it is cool. And speaking of all those great writers, check it out, everyone. Coming up on Monday, October 5th, Isaac and I were given the great pleasure and honor. We have a super awesome guest. We have Hollywood Mike Miranda on the show premiering, like I said, Monday, October 5th, 6 p.m. Pacific. This coming Monday. From when you hear this podcast, it's Monday coming up. Mike's doing something really incredible for our show.
Wasn't that crazy, dude? He dropped it at the very end of our talk. And I was like, dude, are you serious?
Yeah. And if you guys haven't heard, or if you haven't seen Isaac and I posting about it, here it is. Mike Miranda is going to be giving away a Dyno GT Heritage bike. That's right.
Asterisk when they arrive.
When they arrive. That means someone is going to get a chance to win that bike. Go to the Big Bike BMX YouTube channel, the Mike Miranda episode that's up right now in the premiere. It's not live, but we need you to go there and comment. Just go into the comment section and say, what's up, dudes, or whatever you like. That enters you and sets a place mark for your comment to be counted when we do count the number that Mike comes up with. So there is a chance for everybody who makes a comment to win a bike. And I think that's really rad, super awesome. Huge shout out to Hollywood Mike Miranda for offering that.
I wish he would let us win.
Great opportunity.
Yeah, I wish he would let us win.
Yes, Mike, we'd like to win too. We are winning. We had Mike on the show, bro.
What a fun time that was. We had
a great time.
Mike goes into so much, that dude is probably the happiest dude I've ever met in my entire life. Everything, like when you see him wave in the movie Rad, that's Mike Miranda now. Like that dude is just happy about everything.
I agree.
He tells you how I ask him how he got his name Hollywood, which is a hilarious story. He talks about like his come up. He talks about failure in BMX. He just goes on and on, but he has such a positive outlook on everything in BMX in his history. It's probably one of my favorite chats I've ever had with anybody. I hesitate to call them interviews because at this point, like An interview is like a job, I think. Like, you think job interview. We just have exactly. conversations with people. Maybe I should start calling them conversations with.
The conversation episode.
Yeah, because people are starting to like really like give me a hard time about like, you need to stop, dude. Like, you suck at interviews. And I do. We just have conversations with people.
Right, right.
These are not interviews.
They aren't. And so, you guys, again, the premiere, October 5th, Monday, this Monday coming up, 6 p.m., live chat. Isaac and I will be there. Mike Miranda is our featured guest. And I say Isaac, what do you think about wrapping this thing up? And
am I getting long-winded because I've been drinking? Probably.
No, not at all.
A little bit.
Nope.
You guys, we appreciate every single one of you for commenting on our Instagram posts, on our Facebook posts. On our YouTube posts. We love every single person that contributes to this Big Bike BMX family. I love you all. And it really blows my mind that people tune in for this stuff, because I feel like it's literally just Craig and I chatting with each other. And I forget that other people like listen to this. And so it's so humbling to hear some of the comments people leave. It's hard for me to read them sometimes because I'm like, dude, I'm just a dude just like you. Craig is just a dude that grew up riding bikes just like you. We're not important. We're not famous. We are just two normal ass guys that ride bikes, and we love you for riding bikes, and we appreciate you hanging out with us and listening to the stuff. We appreciate you watching our conversation videos that we we call interviews. But man, we love you all. And we've all grown up. We all have the same experiences. They're all shared, and you're all part of this family with us.
That's right, Isaac. Well said, brother. Hey, just a quick shout out. We want to give a huge shout out to the show's sponsor, Knight Bike Company. If you guys are into the retro, super high quality, cool, awesome looking parts, aftermarket parts for your bike, as well as merch, go head over to Knight Bike Company. company.com
I should have this.
It's co.com. nightbikeco.com. Thanks, Isaac, for the correction. Yeah. And check out everything they have. Give another special shout out to Ride Out Supply, and you guys know the deal with them. Thank you everyone for hanging out with Isaac and I tonight. Like Isaac said, we love each and every one of you. Head over to YouTube and check out our Big Bike BMX podcast and channel there. If you haven't yet, subscribe, comment, share, like, everything helps, and we appreciate the support. Apple Podcasts and Spotify is probably where you're hearing this right now. So we keep you up to date on all the latest and greatest in the BMX world as seen from Isaac and I's perspective while you're on the go with the streaming podcast. And Isaac, thanks for being here, bro. This was a good time. Another good chat with you, homie.
Always love it, man. Always love it. Well, we'll see you guys soon. Take care. Have a wonderful week. Go ride your bikes. Do some awesome stuff and tell us about it.